write it down, and we'll kind of go in the order. So does anybody have public comment?
I do.
Okay, I think I heard Jim, then Brad. Is that okay?
I'll let Brad go first.
Okay.
I'll be a gentleman.
Brad, Jim, anybody else? Anybody else? All right, well, Jim, we'll get you a microphone here.
I'll defer to Brad first.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, Brad.
It was a tie. I'll
yeah.
Give it to
all
you.
Right, Brad.
A's before B's.
Carlos, I have a question for you about the vending stuff. At the VA hospital, you always talk about the safety of the vets and relatives out there, and since the late 70s, I've been connected to the hospital myself as a veteran, so from time to time I'm out there. All these years, they've always had a hot food cafeteria out there. Until, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, they stopped doing that. Now it's just machines, which, of course, you know, doesn't seem to make sense for blind people, but what I'm wondering is, you know, I always enjoyed having a hot food cafeteria out there when I breakfast or lunch out there now and then. I'm wondering, is there any idea of ever having a hot food operation out there?
Okay. That's the one in Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
Well, my first reaction to you, Brent, is we promise we are not looking for more expansion.
Yeah.
No, the way it is if the building decides what they want to have. So if they are going to have vending machines, we need to get involved. If they are going to have hard food service, but again, they decide that then they need to let us know. So that's how it works. If they don't tell us, now if they are going to put something and they don't let us know, we will fight it. But one of the tricky parts at the national level, too, is that the VA keeps fighting, saying that they have the right to use the canteen. So many times comes down to only when there is a new building. Okay, let me go back. The agreement between blind vendors around the nation with the VA very much is blind vendors won't fight against the VA for the operation they already have. At any new buildings, they need to let the state licensee agency know. So that's why we were fighting for the new clinic in Omaha and the new one in Lincoln. But going back to your question, it doesn't hurt, I guess, to contact them to see if they are going to, if they are thinking about hot food service, then we can see we have a blind vendor who is interested.
They are building a new building out there, which is supposed to open up at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. But we will talk to them because, again, that's for vending machines. But you brought up the idea about hard food items, so we will follow up on that too. Thanks for that. Carol is going to appreciate that extra little.
Wow.
No, on the other hand, like Chairman Bolger mentioned, we are about partnership. If we cannot do it, you know, we will try to find somebody who can do it, you know, because we want to be eventually in control, so when a blind vendor or a blind person wants to run it, we can work with that blind person.
Ask that question again in about 2 years, okay?
Yeah. One of the items that I didn't report, and I even forgot to put it in my notes, is that we are going to be advertising the MBE coordinator position very soon. Okay?
So I think the business justifies that with the growth.
Right, right, yep.
Would that come out of the set-aside dollars, or how would that be funded?
No, we have that included in the budget.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. Jim.
I will.
This is what's known as the question.
This is what's known as the question. Mark is right. And for the new folks, Kimberly and Brent, Some background information before I ask the question for your benefit. Several years ago, in my view, a tragedy was committed when this agenda item was removed from the meeting agenda. When Barb was chair of the commission board, and then subsequently Nancy and then Julie, when I was on board at the same time, there was always an item on there called a report from the chair. The report from the chair subsequently evolved into report from the commissioners, or commissioner's report, or however it was phrased. And a couple of years ago, for one reason or another, it was removed from the agenda. So what I typically do at each meeting is I ask each commissioner to explain what they have been doing since the last meeting to any area of public blindness, whatever it is. So that's just some background information, and Kimberly, Brent, for your benefit, I'll exempt you from that because you weren't aware of it. But for the rest of you, I want you to tell me what you've been up to since the last meeting.
Well, that was a long question.
It was background, good question.
Oh, yeah. Nice segue.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to give that to Becky first.
Becky.
Well, Jim. Now be nice, okay? We're all friends in this room.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a broken record, I have been teaching students non-visual skills. I've been teaching advocacy, self-advocacy, been informing of resources available to them. This last month, I did have the opportunity to, I had a meeting in Nebraska City, and I did have an opportunity to meet with a blind mentor there. One of my students is considering auto mechanics, and so I did meet with the mentor there, Dave, and kind of learned a little bit about his business and how he does things, and asked him if I would be able to share his contact information with the student when the student is ready to acknowledge things in his life. And he was willing to do that. So that, I guess, was very encouraging. And his parents were happy to have that information. But anyway, so that's about all that I've been doing.
Well, thank you. Well, I'll go next. This is Mark. One of the exciting things that's coming up that we're going to be working on more is on Saturday, April 18th, the American Council of Blind of Nebraska will be having their annual state convention. It'll be in Omaha. We're going to do an older blind theme this year to kind of recognize that there's a lot of older blind people that could benefit from information and support that a consumer group offers. So that'll be our theme. I serve as the Omaha Association of Blind President. That's, we have monthly meetings, and that's always fun. More on a personal note, just got back yesterday from Deadwood, South Dakota, going to Ski for Light, and that's where blind and mobility and disabled veterans get together and enjoy outdoor sports. And I participated in snowshoeing this year, and that's always fun. I'm probably in my fourth or fifth year, and the thing I like about it is it's disabled people getting out and trying something they've never tried before, or maybe they tried it before. And I heard a quote that somebody said, you know, you don't grow in your comfort zone. So it's kind of a way to go out and kind of challenge ourselves to do something different. I think I guess there is one exciting thing. I serve on a couple different transportation committees in Omaha. And for 5 years, I've been working on what's called rapid transit for buses, and that's going to roll out sometime in the fall, and they're going to have, I think it's really going to improve public transportation, and I've been trying to make sure that it's accessible as possible. So, here you go, Robert.
I guess I would like to ask, when people are talking where they're being amplified, you know, I can hear them really clear, but boy, when I'm sitting here listening to whoever's talking, and the voice is coming over that speaker there, it's kind of like, oh, I have to just almost hurt my brain trying to keep track of what they're saying. It just sounds muffled. Anybody else hear that? Or it just sounds like there's something in the way of the speaker or something.
The microphone?
Well, yes, either this thing I'm talking into or the speaker, because, again, what I'm hearing is, well, coming out of the speaker over there. Anyway, so it just doesn't work so well for me. All right, so things. So, you know, Mark's asked me to be one of the speakers at the ACB convention coming up. I always appreciate that very much. I'm going to be talking about leisure-type activities, so I'm going to share some of mine. Of course, I'm going to do some research with some other people, so I make sure I have a good range of things that people are doing. That's great. So that's really good. And I also went to ski for life for the first time, and I did snowshoeing as well. And I rode the old snowmobile too, and half the time my butt was not on the seat because you just go over bumps and you're flying in the air. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Then there was a mountain man sled, and you get strapped in. There's a guy on the back of the. It's almost like a one-person dog sled thing. The guy on the back is... Anyway, that was a wild, rough ride, too, going down the mountain. That was great. Anyway, there's lots of... You know, like Mark was saying, there's just a lot of great energy going on there. It was a good experience for everyone, I think. And it was kind of one of those organized chaos things because there's a lot of things going on, a lot of people. And anyway, it was good. I'll definitely go back and I'd recommend it, you know. I will. So, of course, I'm doing a lot of NFB-related stuff, being the president of the senior division, so organizing meetings, speakers all the time. Barbara and I are working on a video that we're going to do. Just a short one. It's because, again, one of our speakers was, I'm not sure if I shared this before, it was a representative of a large company that has, you know, these facilities for older blind like the number two serious injury that happens is from hot liquids being spilled, and it's by the visual impaired is the highest percentage of folks that are doing that. So I've been writing a script, you know, just to how that we could get across, you know, the right kind of message about how that can be done with, you know, non-visual techniques. Because it's their vision that's not working for them, you know. So anyway, so we're working on that. Of course, the friends of the commission were working. I'm on the committee, and Barbara's as well. And there's a couple other people. We're working on a grant, you know, application for monies for PI. It was kind of fun. John Wick and I, he's on the committee, so I interviewed a guy that went to, you know, one of our early programs, the ET programs, 38 years ago. So he's going to give his perspective on it. And of course, we're going to interview some parents. They've got to get some kids in there too. So just, you know, things. We're working on things like that. It's all great. So feeds my passion, right? All right, next.
You're welcome. Brent, you want to say anything?
You've got to.
You don't have to.
Oh, it's not.
Every day.
I would say I got appointed to the Board of Commissioners.
There you go.
So, that's what I've got since the last meeting. You know, and I've, you know, talked a little bit at the Lincoln Chapter meeting of the NFB, you know, just saying how much I'm, you know, honored to be a member of the Board of Commissioners. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to continuing to serve and to help out any way I can.
That's good. Kimberly?
Okay. Again, now appointed to the Board of Commissioners. I'm also, as an NFB member, I'm coordinating our NFB Bell Academy for this summer, and we're going to be holding that at the University of Nebraska at Kearney as a residential program for a week. For children from 8 to 12, so I'm pretty excited about that. I've had an opportunity to speak to a couple of groups of children at the YMCA, talking to them about blindness skills and just different alternatives. I brought in some Slayton styluses. I went to the Hastings Public Library and read to a group of children, Peter and the Octopus. That's a Braille book, twin vision book, And I guess that's probably it for the last couple of months.
Well, thank you.
I have a comment.
Are there any other public comments right now?
I do.
Kathy, okay.
There you go.
I just have a question. I'm a little confused about Robert's comment about the commissioner appointments, and I'd like to see if he could clarify that. I didn't understand what your concern was.
I have been asked by two individuals to ask this question.
Oh. Yeah, well, would you repeat it so that maybe?
Yeah, just, you know, does the, you know, the governor, yeah, sure. Because I've been about, like I say, I think I asked Pearl one time, because that, just how my mind works, too, just how things work. Anyway, so, again, two people asked me, does the governor's office, you know, ever ask the commission, you know, here are the candidates, which one would, do we have any influence as to who gets appointed? You know, just that was basically it. Do we have any influence, you know? Do we get asked? Because I don't think we'd do it if we don't get asked. Well, you know, because, you know, I wrote a letter in support of, you know, someone on, well, both these people that are on the board here right now. I mean, I knew they were running. So, you know, with, just within the NFP, we did that sort of thing. So so people like out here can do it. So they just, again, they were just curious, you know, does the commission have any influence on who gets chosen or not? You know, do they get asked? And just, anyway, that was it. Does that help, Kathy?
Yeah, and your answer, just, you know, the commission, I mean, the people who want to be appointed submit an application to the governor's office, and the governor's office ultimately reviews the applications and makes their appointments.
Yeah, so Carlos said he gets a copy, right, Carlos? So you get a copy of who the candidates are, and then...
A list of the candidates.
Yeah, a list of, yeah.
Were there, what, five this year? Did you say how many there were? I can't remember.
Well, including you, there was six, I think.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's good. The more the better.
Five.
But then you said something else, but maybe you were just saying after you get to see the list, and that's about the time that the whoever is going to be being chosen by, you know, the governor's office, then those people would get a letter. You said something about it.
What they say is that that's the list of those applicants, and that the governor will be making a decision very soon, in the next week or so. That's all they...
So you don't have approval in the process or any influence?
I'm not supposed to.
Okay, there you go.
Right.
They're just, I think... They are being polite to let me know who are the applicants. Maybe if I want to raise a flag, like Robert mentioned, if there is somebody who doesn't know anything about Rehab for the Blind, I could say, well, can you take a look at this person because it doesn't fit the law. Maybe I could, that would be the extent of my suggestion, but as long as all of them fit within the law, I'm not supposed to get involved.
And again, real super brave, you know, and the law reads what you said doesn't fit the law.
I need to have the law with me, but very much it says needs to be at least three blind people.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of them need to have experience or knowledge about rehabilitation for the blind. That's very much what it says.
And it doesn't say anything else about someone who may not. Well, okay. Okay, yeah, gotcha. That's what it says. Okay.
Mike Hanson.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
You want to grab this? Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
The law also says that they're one representative from the National Federation of the Blind and one representative from the American Council for the Blind of Nebraska.
That's
right. And then the other thing that I was just going to mention was I can concur entirely with the comments that were made about any influences or anything like that, but as a member of the Board of Commissioners and as the chairman, I did submit letters of recommendation and did not send them as Mike Hansen, citizen of Nebraska. I did send them as, I did state my title. It was not, I wasn't sending it on behalf of the board, but I was sending it on behalf of myself as a member of the board to the governor. And so he did have my comments about it, but of course, you know, he could take that or leave it.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks, Mike. Well, I'm there again, you know, well, black people, we have our voices, and we can do that with a phone call, email, or letter, and if there's someone that we think is a good potential commissioner, you know, right, like, it sounds like the government would listen to you, Robert, if you wrote two letters, you got two appointments, so. So if you want an appointment, have Robert later, write a letter.
And I just put it as a citizen, I didn't say,
well, that even more, Robert, so.
That's okay.
But, yeah, that's how it works, you know.
Yeah.
I think people don't do enough of that, so if you want to be heard, write a letter. Okay, well, next on the agenda, thanks everybody for the public comment. I think we got one more chance towards the end of the meeting. So if you got a public comment, please hold it till our next time on the agenda. Okay, well, this is exciting because we have actually the Newsline coordinator on the board, and we've talked about this. There's no conflict here because anything that's Newsline related, I know that Kimberly will not participate in the vote. So we can distinguish that. But with that, I'll pass this over to Kimberly, and she can, oh gosh, yeah, and let her give an update on Newsline.
Oh, goodness, I didn't know I was going to get to do that.
Well, you wrote it to say it.
Okay, well, as of last month, for those of you that are receiving my report, I started giving you a little bit more information than you've received in the past in a table format. I've let you all know more about usage and broke it down as far as how people are accessing Newsline. And starting this next month, you're going to notice even more information, and it's going to be organized a little bit different. So in the Excel spreadsheet that I sent to you, the second page of it that says 2020, it's going to give you a little bit more information. And so I hope that's helpful. There have been some issues with NFB Newsline. People are having some difficulty accessing some of the Lincoln Journal Star specifically articles. I don't know if you all experienced that, but I've talked to NFB in Baltimore, and they're looking into the issues. Basically, what happens is the article will it'll get the title and the writer, but not the content. I've been in touch several times with Newsline, and they're working on that. As far as access goes, it seems to me that we're pretty much most people are accessing Newsline electronically via the web or the NFB Newsline app. I've noticed that our Alexa usage has kind of gone up. I think not this last month, but the month before, it had more than doubled.
Wow.
But this last month, it went down a little, so I don't know, you know, maybe people are doing other things. But there isn't a whole lot of new information. I know that NFB posted information about the Washington seminar on NFB Newsline. There's anything else new since the last report.
All right. Anybody got any questions for Kimberly?
No.
Well, thank you. I feel like we got first-hand information here. And that's great. You know, I think I applaud you. If you get more traffic through Alexa or something, that's where the people are at now. So keep exploring. How about next on the agenda, we got CAP complaints. Carlos, you going to handle that or Carol?
Yeah, there is.
Here's a microphone.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah, there is one that I think is very much resolved, but involve a lot of different issues, all the way from informed choice to buying the right equipment. It can involve different public officials, CAP, and so forth, but we documented everything. I also talked to Commissioner Boucher because this particular consumer also called him. But for now, it's being resolved. That's the extent of what I can.
Okay. That's what we want, resolution. Any, is that, we just had one?
Just one, yeah.
One complaint,
the,
okay.
The other two, I think, are, I reported before.
Okay, thank you. All right, pass that over here. You know, on the CAP, the what is it, consumer, what's that? What's
client,
the acronym?
Client assistance.
Client assistance program. Oh, you know, that is a way to protect clients, you know, right to, you know, at least express their concerns if they don't think you're getting the services that they deserve or want. And personally, I'm not usually involved in this, but I always applaud anybody's determination to be advocates for themselves. And I know that this state agency takes those complaints very seriously, so that's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to move on to new business now, and on our agenda is a 2020 combined state plan status report. And